WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Our guests today on Keeping the Faith are two folks who are going to be talking about church world service, the problems of hunger around the world, and specifically about crop walks, both in this community and around the country. We have two people from the local Crop Walk Board. We have Nikki Kyle. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you.
Welcome. And you're a part of the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church.
That's correct.
And Anthony Stouder, you're from Wesley Methodist.
Yes. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, that's a campus church. Mm-hmm. Are there students who get involved with this?
Yeah, we've actually had several students from Wesley who've gotten involved and also from lots of other churches.
And Nikki, how long have you been involved with the local crop walk?
My first crop walk was back when I think it's been about 7 years ago is the first crop walk, and I've been on the board for the last two. So.
And what about you, Anthony? When did you hear about it?
I actually got involved in crop walk as a youth at Laurel Methodist in Springfield. And
Springfield, Illinois.
Mm-hmm, Springfield, Illinois. And
how old were you?
I don't remember, actually. It's been a while. I remember doing it pretty young. Yeah.
I'm older than both of you by quite a bit, and I can remember when my 42-year-old son was a toddler, and we were involved in a crop walk early on, and I guess we were in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I remember we pushed him part of the way in a buggy and a stroller, I guess they call them, and he toddled part of the other way. I think that was my wife's and my first involvement with crop walk. This has been a long and very successful program. Tell listeners who may not have heard about it what's involved. Nikki, you're involved often with publicity for mm-hmm. crop walk. Tell us what you tell people.
Well, one of the things is just it's basically getting the word out not only to different local churches but to different local agencies who may want to be getting involved. This is interfaith, so it's not just the Christian churches. It's the like the Hindu faith, Baha'i. We've got people from the
Jews. Muslims from the local mosque participate.
We haven't had any, but it would be wonderful if we did. We have people from the Jewish community. So
it's called Church World Service, and mm-hmm. it's sponsored, I guess, originally by Christian groups ecumenically, mm-hmm. but it's open to people of any faith.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And tell us what happens with what is this walk about?
Anthony, you want to answer? I'll let you start.
Oh, sure. It actually started back in Champaign, Urbana. It started in 1992. Yes, last year was our 20th year. We're in our 21st year now. And crop walks overall started in 1969 in North Dakota with the first crop walk to help support the crop program. The crop program was originally founded in 1947 as a outreach of Church World Service, which had been founded the year before. And the program brought crops from the Midwest to Northern Europe, which had been just gotten out of World War II. So today, Church World Service operates worldwide in 80 countries with many partners from various denominations and agencies. All their work goes toward uplifting people from poverty. So,
and the Church World Service programs that these crop walks support through the money they raise, it goes for what kind of programs in these 80 countries where there is a real hunger problem?
some of it is school safe zone in Kenya. And what they do is they help supply education materials to children so that they can help work their way out of poverty.
Let's not say too much about that program, because guess what? Guess who we have here as our guest coming back from Kenya, talking about the safe zones there on, let me find the exact date, March 25th.
Okay.
Esther Portnoy, Professor Portnoy, yes, is there now, and we'll be going to be talking about that. But that's a great example.
But they also help build wells for clean water and sanitation, as well as help with teaching people how to grow crops, so that way they are able to grow their own food.
So part of it is educational.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who does this? Who does the teaching?
Missionaries who work for Church World Service, as well as the partner agencies. So Church World Service in countries where there's already a presence, Church World Service partners and helps fund programs that are already out there.
Tell us what's going to happen locally and when and how people can get involved.
Sure. We have a crop walk kickoff on the 21st at United
University Place Christian Church.
Thank you. University Place Christian Church at 7 o'clock. And it's where you can find out more information, as well as Esther's going to be giving a little bit of her experience from Kenya as well. So
that's Wednesday, March 21st, mm-hmm, at 7 p.m. at, yes, the University Place Christian Church, mm-hmm, in Champaign. That's right. It's on the west side of Wright Street, so that's Champaign.
Yes.
And you can, if you would like to start a team for your faith community, that's the place to be.
Mm-hmm. March 21st, 7 p.m., University Place. And so what's involved in starting a team?
Oh, goodness. Somebody who's just, first off, is, one person within the church who's maybe interested in walking and educating about world hunger. And if there's more people in the congregation or the church to actually participate. I know Good Shepherd's had a team for a long time. Wesley's had a team for a long time. Last year, was it the Unitarian Church had their first team? And there's just people who said, hey, let's just do this and let's get the word out about hunger and poverty. So,
what did you do at your church?
What did I do at my church?
Yeah, to get the word out.
Well, this year, this is my first year as team leader at Good Shepherd for Crop Walk. So starting at 11 weeks, I started putting challenges out to the congregation. One of the challenges was people like to bring their dogs with. So instead of one or two dogs from the congregation, if we could get more than, five dogs to walk with us. One of them was the youth to get involved as volunteers, the Sunday school to have a penny fundraising, where the whoever raised the most pennies.
And the idea is that a person who goes on this walk will get people to contribute so much, depending, mm-hmm, on how far they walk or how long they walk or if they walk at all. Is that kind of the idea?
It's typically the donations that we seek for sponsorships go to the walker for walking the walk as long as they can. We have people who can walk the whole 10K and others who can't make it that far but still show up and walk as far as they can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can remember years ago when particularly high school students would talk to a wealthy person in the congregation, mm-hmm, say, well, pay me so much a mile.
That's a great way of doing that, too. That's, I love that idea. Yeah.
And then they'd surprise them with how far they could walk.
Yeah, that's great, especially for the young.
We're talking on Keeping the Faith today about crop walks around the country. And I should ask, are these done in other countries as well to raise money for this, or just in the U.S.?
To my knowledge, it's primarily done in the United mm-hmm. States. In about 2,000 communities or more.
Okay.
The Church World Service is an outreach effort of the National Council of Churches in the United States of America. So, it is primarily a United States based fundraising
sure.
effort.
Okay. Let me give the phone number so that listeners can call and ask questions or make comments or share their stories about how they did fundraising in their congregations, in their faith communities. If you're in the Champaign-Urbana, Illinois listening area, 217-333-9455 is the number to call. That's 333-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. If you're listening long distance, even if you're listening on the Internet, and you might be far away, but there's still a toll-free number in the U.S. you can use, 800-222-9455. So that, of course, is a toll-free number, 800-222-WILL. And incidentally, if you can't hear all this program at this time, it's archived, and you can hear it all then. It might answer some of your questions if you like. And that's at will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith. And just leave the G off of keeping, and you'll be able to hear this program at your convenience on whatever device you have in your pocket or purse or your computer at home. So let's get back to talking about the Church World Service. You were talking about the National Council of Churches, Anthony. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Anthony Stouter and Nikki Kyle here in the studio today. And Church World Service, you say, began back in 1946 and first of all sent crops from the Midwest to Europe, which where crops had been destroyed by World War II just so horribly and people were starving.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about that period? You're a young guy. It was before your time.
I actually don't know a lot, I'll confess.
Well, of course, the U.S. Sent a lot of aid to Europe at that time, mm-hmm. and the Marshall Plan and so on. And so it's the Church World Service was joining in a larger effort, mm-hmm. but it clearly made a difference. And you'd say now it's in 80 different countries where this aid is mm-hmm. distributed. Mm-hmm. How much money is raised?
According to what I have, and I think the information I found at church happens to be, I think, from like 2007 or 2008, it said last year crop walks raised over $16 million to support the hunger-fighting work of Church World Services around the world.
And so, last year here in Champaign-Urbana, we raised $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This year we're challenging the Champaign-Urbana community to raise $33,000, a 10% increase.
Mm-hmm. How many walkers did you have last year? Do you remember?
That's a good question.
We had 20 to 25 groups.
From different faith communities.
And I forget now how many walkers.
It's a couple hundred.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't include pets, because we actually do include, we have lots of furry friends who join us for the walk, and they're more than welcome. Lots of people do bring their children on the walk mm-hmm. In strollers, and so it's definitely a family oriented event.
Now, Anthony, you have a sight problem mm-hmm. and walk with a white cane.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had trouble on this walk?
No, I typically walk with one or two or more people, and so I don't get left behind. My friends aren't that mean. But and typically one of the beautiful things about crop walks is that it is a walk, and that offers, we say that we walk because they walk. The people who benefit from Church World Service programs walk daily for their primary transportation. And one of the blessings—
walk to get food, walk to get water.
Right. Water, yeah, sure. Everything. And one of the blessings in terms of our walking in solidarity with them is the added benefit of being together in community and ecumenical community and being able to interact with people from all faiths. And,
now give us the date for the walk in Champaign-Urbanus where this program originates.
The date is
April 22nd.
Which is that Sunday right before the Illinois Marathon, so
you can get some walking exercise in.
Yes.
People can,
that's a good challenge.
It's 10 kilometers mm-hmm. is the goal. And what time does it start on Sunday, April 22nd?
1 o'clock.
2 p.m., actually.
2 p.m.?
We encourage people to be there about 1:45, particularly the team leaders we encourage to be there about 15 minutes early to turn in materials. But we try and start our program as close to 2 p.m. as possible.
And where will you start?
At University Place Christian Church.
Mm-hmm. That's the corner of Springfield and Wright Street in mm-hmm. Champaign mm-hmm. at 2 o'clock on April 22nd, a Sunday afternoon. And how long does it generally take for people of different ages and levels of ability and some in wheelchairs to make this particular walk? We're pretty flat here in mm-hmm. Champaign-Urbana.
We
that may help.
I think most people are finished walking by 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, when I was coming to the studio this afternoon, I noticed that there were little blue flowers already starting to peek up, mm-hmm. Blooming, and I asked Celeste Quinn here when I got here what they were, because I didn't know, and she said they were cilia. So you're going to have some beautiful things to look at by April 22nd.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It'll be Earth Day, too, so that will be another added opportunity for reflection. Yeah.
Is there a website that people could go to get information about this local crop walk
there
or other crop
is.
Walks? Because, of course, we have listeners all the way from Chicago to Indianapolis. I take it in almost all of those communities there'll
Correct.
Be a crop walk.
Mm-hmm. It's cu-cropwalk.org, and that's for the local crop walk.
Okay. Now, I've been taught by David Inge to say cu hyphen crop walk
because
it's one of those little things, not two. And
okay.
Some people who learned typing years ago think of a dash as two hyphens.
So. Yeah, uh-huh. That's quite true.
But people in other communities can just go to Church World Service website mm-hmm. and then find links there to
right.
Indianapolis.
And if you go to cropwalk.org, they have a map right there that you can find your local walk by clicking on your state. The crop walks happen both in the spring and during the fall. As a kid, I participated in the fall crop walk, but here in Champaign-Urbana, we celebrate, we participate in this national effort in the spring. So,
and it would be difficult in the fall with football traffic.
That's probably
yes.
true. Although it will be a Sunday, but yeah
that's with, true.
Sunday football might be a...
Well, maybe it's Midwest folks need to celebrate spring because of often difficult winters.
That's true.
Yeah.
So cropwalk.org, no matter mm-hmm. where you're hearing this program, can help you find how to participate. And if you want to participate, you can make a donation yourself. You can just mm-hmm. walk if you mm-hmm. don't have funds. You can also sponsor a walker. Tell us more about those
sure.
options.
Sure. On the website, each church organization is also able to sign up online, and then individual walkers can sign up underneath their particular group. And so if somebody wants to do online donations, they can just click on that particular walker and do an online donation. If they wanted to just go to the whole organization, I don't know how that one works. I know how it's done individually.
Well, once you go to cropwalk.org for other – or
like,
well, actually, if you go to – if you find the Champaign-Urbana crop walk, you can donate to – just to the to the general walk for Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. You can do that with other walks by going to cropwalk.org.
Yeah. And several congregations, I know, make a donation as a congregation as well mm-hmm. as individuals.
Yeah.
And they have it as part of their organization budget. And they feel that this agency has such a good track record and is so efficient in getting the food and the training and the education to people who need it so efficiently that they actually put it as part of their budget.
Mm-hmm. Actually, and I saw the administrative costs are less than 15% for Church World Service and all of its in all of its efforts, which is rather small.
Mm-hmm. That's very efficient. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Nikki Kyle. And Nikki, your first name is spelled N-I-K-K-I.
N-I-C-K-I.
Nope. C-K-I. Mm-hmm. I had it wrong then. N-I-C-K-I, Kyle, K-Y-L-E.
Yes.
All right. And our engineer today, our technical director, is another Kyle, but that's Kyle Kroha. Kyle is her first name. And Anthony Stouter is here from Wesley United Methodist Church in Urbana. Nikki is a member at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on mm-hmm. Prospect Avenue in Champaign, Illinois. Tell us a little bit about Wesley Foundation and how you got involved there, Anthony.
I actually, whenever I was at I'm a lifelong Methodist, and when I was at Western Illinois University going to college, I attended the Wesley Foundation there. When I came to the Champaign-Urbana community, it was I really love the academic environment of the campus communities, and Wesley certainly fits in well with that environment. I also really enjoy having interactions with the students and being in Bible studies and participating in the food pantry with along with students and members of the community. So it's, for me, a perfect fit, I think.
Now, when you were an undergraduate at Western Illinois University, you said you were involved in the Wesley Foundation there mm-hmm. on that campus. But when you came here, you came to the very first Wesley Foundation anywhere.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. We're blessed to have a beautiful building, and we're actually celebrating our centennial next year.
And is that the 100 years of the church?
Of the Wesley Foundation.
Of the Wesley Foundation. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah. It's the church. The progenitor was Trinity Methodist Episcopal Church, and it gave birth to the Wesley Foundation and the Wesley Church.
And who is the senior pastor there at the Wesley?
Reverend Dan King Crady is the senior pastor of the church and also director of the Wesley Foundation. Reverend Miriam Snyder is the associate pastor for the church, and Reverend Rob Kirby is the associate director of the foundation.
And Rob Kirby has been a campus pastor here for the Methodists for a number of years mm-hmm. now. I know he was also president of the Religious Workers Association at the University of Illinois for a period, recently spent a year in Thailand, and we had him on this program talking about that a while back. People who want to hear about that experience of Midwestern family spending a year in Thailand can go to the archives here on Keeping the Faith. Again, that's will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith, and just put in this little search box you see there, Rob Kirby, and that program will come up. You can listen to that at your convenience. We're about halfway through our Keeping the Faith program today with our two guests, Nikki Kyle and Anthony Stouter, talking about Church World Service. They're both on the Crop Walk Board here in Champaign-Urbana, where $30,000 was raised last year for helping fight world hunger in several different ways around the world in 80 different countries. We'll be getting back to them in just a moment. Let me take a moment to introduce myself. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for this program. And next week, I'll be talking with someone we tried to talk with earlier, and Now, let me see if I can find that particular date. We tried to talk, here it is, March 18, with J. Michelson, and he had a last-minute conflict and could not be with us on the air. So we played an archive program. Kyle was able to find us an archive program on her computer, and so we listened to some very good music from a local singer who's now an international singer, Somi, S-O-M-I. But we do have Jay Michelson coming back, and he's called me almost every week saying, yes, I will be on the phone when we talk about my book on March 18th. So next week, Jay Michelson will be our guest. We'll be talking about his book, The Religious Case. His book is titled God versus Gay ? But his title for our discussion will be The Religious Case for Gay Rights. So that'll be March 18 here on Keeping the Faith. And then the following week, we'll be talking I mentioned Esther Portnoy, Professor Emeritus here at the University of Illinois, about her current trip. She's right now in Kenya looking into in detail the safe zones in schools there where young people are learning skills to keep them out of hunger throughout their lifetimes. Then later, we'll be talking on April 1st with Jackie Lynn, who is an Episcopal priest and head of the Episcopal Peace Fellowship nationwide. We'll be talking with her by phone from Chicago. April 8th, Josh Slocum, who's the Executive Director for the National Funeral Consumers Association that tries to find ways that particularly poor people can afford to have funeral services in their communities. We'll be talking about Earth Care on April 15, the Sunday before Earth Day, with David Sherwood and the Reverend Dr. Catherine Cusmull from the First Presbyterian Church of Urbana. And then on April 22nd, we have a program I'd really like to highlight because Roger Ebert was on this show talking about religious themes in movies back in 1999 in April, the week before his very first film festival in Champaign-Urbana at the Virginia Theater. At the time, he was very unsure whether this thing was going to come off, whether anybody would come, whether people would pay money to see old films that he thought had been overlooked. And lo and behold, now he's been doing this ever since, and it's been a phenomenal success with people coming from all over the country for that week of films in April. So we're going to replay the interview that had been lost for a number of years here at WILL because we changed recording techniques and came into the digital age. But we found it and were able to get it to play again. So we're going to play that wonderful interview with Roger Ebert. And many of your listeners know that he has lost his voice due to cancer over the last 3 years. So it'll be good to hear him speak again and to hear his enthusiasm for this venture of the Overlook Film Festival. That'll be April 22nd here on Keeping the Faith. And again, programs that you might have missed can be heard online, will.illinois.edu. Let me say a word about the Friday Forum at the University Y. The University Y has sponsored this program in part for a number of years. And the Friday Forum will not happen again until March 30 because of spring break and so other issues. And so the next one will not be until Friday noon, March 30. And the topic will be, can globalization promote human rights? And the Canada Research Chair in International Human Rights will be the guest there at that University YMCA program, Rhoda Howard Hassman. That's March 30. Tonight at the University Y is a sold-out program of the International Dinner and Performance Night. Many people, after this program, will be heading over that way for that dinner at the Y. They are all sold out, though, so tickets are not available if you don't have them already. Well, let's get back to our guests, and we do have a caller waiting on line number one in Urbana. Go right ahead. You're on the air with Nikki Kyle and Anthony Stouter.
Hi, this is Gabriel Stanton, and I'm also on the Crop Walk Committee. In fact, I'm and John Sutherland are have been working on the route, so I can give you some details about what's going on there.
Well, tell us. We've talked about where we'll start at the University Place Church on Springfield and Wright. Where will it go from there?
Yeah, and that's my church, so it was easy for me to find that. The starting place.
And there's good parking there, too. And on Sunday, you can even park on the streets free.
Yeah, you can. You can. So, and you can park across the street at the Kenny, I guess it's the Kenny.
Kenny Gym. Uh-huh.
Gym over right there. So, yeah, we're going to go down. We're still working on it, but we're going down to Scott Park, and then we're going to go to the new Boneyard Reclamation Area.
Oh, that's pretty.
Take a tour of that.
The Boneyard is a creek for our faraway listeners.
Yeah. And then we're going to head over to the New Covenant Church, which hosts the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen.
And that's on Randolph Street.
It's on White and Randolph, right? Uh-huh. So, that's one of the charities that we're supporting. I don't know if they mentioned that. I got here kind of a little bit late. That a quarter of the funds go to three local charities.
What are the other two?
That would be the Eastern Illinois Food Bank and the Time Center.
The Time Center is for homeless men, yes.
Yeah, it's a shelter for homeless men, and they feed, they have lunches there, too, for people that are hungry, you know. So that will be our next, then after the Daily Bread, we're going to the Church of the Brethren, which is on South Neal Street, then from there we're headed to, and we'll walk around Westside Park to get there. So, for people that, and kind of past the old YMCA, Champaign YMCA, where basically the gym, McKinley YMCA, which I guess it's not a Y anymore, but. And then we're headed over to the Church of the Brethren, the Peace Church. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but they've been participants in the walk for years. And then we're going to go to the Time Center. So they've opened their doors. So we'll walk past the empty tomb on 4th Street. And head back to University Place Christian Church.
An empty tomb is a social service agency sponsored by various Christian churches ecumenically, which provides clothes and services and furniture and helps fix up homes of poor people.
Right, right. Okay. They've been active for a while, and they do really good work in the community, so just wanted to highlight that. And so by walking past there, and we'll head back, and I believe we're going to work on the specifics, but we'll be showing a slideshow of Esther Portnoy's trip, I believe, to Kenya, and we'll be talking either before or after the walk, I think. I'm not sure, actually, how we're going to work it out. But
and the walk ends back at University Place Christian Church.
Mm. Yeah, and then we'll have fair trade chocolate and water and
Did you say chocolate?
Fair trade chocolate, yeah.
It's one of the popular treats that we get, and church world service participates in an interfaith effort to provide fair trade goods to people around the world. So,
and Crop Walk T-shirts will be for sale, and there's a different one each year. They're kind of colorful. I own several, but I've been on the committee for a while. So, this is actually my second year, and last year I took part in designing the route too. So.
Well, thank you for doing it again and providing that service to such a good enterprise.
Yeah, and I just think everybody on the committee works so hard, and I just think all the churches getting together, it's a great thing, and it's great talking to people on the walk, and there are some things you might not know about different churches and different denominations and what people are doing in the community to help the hungry. And you can kind of get ideas and it's fun. I enjoy interacting with the people most of all on the walk and then the people at the churches too. So, yeah.
Now, John, of this $30,000 that was raised in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois last year for Crop Walk, how much do you and others on the board get paid?
Well, this is Gabe Stanton.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had the wrong name. Sorry. It's Gabe?
Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe.
So how much did you get paid out of that $30,000 for serving on this board?
We didn't get paid anything. It's all volunteer. It's very rewarding when you go into church and people know who you are. They say, "What's going on with the Crop Walk?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's great to be part of this thing." And it's been going on since I think 92. Yeah. Wow.
Thank you very much for sharing your experience and telling us about what the route will be this year. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Have a great evening. Bye.
Thank you again.
one of the things I'd highlight about the pit stops is that that's another way people can volunteer. If you can't walk and perhaps you aren't able to sponsor, or maybe you do want to sponsor but you can't walk, another way to volunteer is to help us staff the different stops along the route and to help us staff the registration table. All the contact information for Esther is available on the Crop Walk page, cu-cropwalk.org. There you can find out who you can contact for that. And we're always looking for crossing guards too, which is...
I was just going to mention that, yeah. Yes. And there's a van also if, for some reason, if you're on the route, whether you're doing the 3-mile shortcut or the full 6 miles, if you start to have a problem, there's always a van going around that has Crop Walk on it that they're able to take you back to the church where we started at. So be able to get assistance if needed. And
tell me more about the pit stops. How many are there? How do you decide where they'll be and what will be there?
There's usually 3 along the route. A lot of times it's just asking churches or different organizations along the route, are we able to use your church, your facility?
Restrooms, water.
And a lot of the places will supply, cookies and punch and juice, and they're really welcoming and very open and love to have us come through. And it's really nice to go into the different churches and of the different denominations and the different faiths to see not only what their worship space is like, but also to get, to get an opportunity to really get a chance to know them as well. So
we have some very beautiful churches in the community.
I taught a course at the university for, I think, 3 years where I would take students around to visit some of the beautiful religious art in the community. And they were amazed at the kind of paintings and sculpture and stained glass windows and architecture and the variety, even within several different denominations and faiths. and some of the people had never been to a mosque before and never stepped inside of a mosque. We don't have the Hindu temple built yet in this community, but let me say again that there is a fundraising effort going on for that new Hindu mosque, and on St. Patrick's Day evening, March 17, at 6 p.m. at the iHotel, there's a big $100 a plate dinner to raise money for the new Hindu temple. It'll be on North Mattis in Champaign. And if people are interested in getting tickets for that, they can. I'll give the phone number later in the program, but it's they can call Malcolm Paul and make a reservation, or other people in the Hindu community. Well, let's talk some more about the possibilities of participating in this. How many people contact you if they want to form a team in their own faith group?
I haven't had anybody contact me, but they are more than welcome to. I don't know if they should, go through the CU Crop Walk site, but they could also email me personally at my NikkiLucyCole@hotmail.com.
So you'll have to spell that.
Sure, it's NikkiLucyCole@hotmail.com.
And it might be easier to do cu-cropwalk.org
Yes.
And find ways to.
Yes.
There'll be emails there and they can contact.
There's a phone number for Esther, who's the chair of our group. Yeah.
All right. And since some people may not have computers, there may be a phone number. We probably don't have Esther.
I don't have Esther's phone number.
Noise.
Well, Anthony's on the ball here.
I'm looking for her.
We'll find that for listeners in just a moment. That's one of the problems of live radio. I ask questions sometimes we don't have the immediate answer for, or I don't even have the information in front of me either. We're talking about Church World Service, a program of the National Council of Churches, but which is an interfaith program to raise funds in this country, the United States. Some of it stays locally. 125% of the money raised is available for, in this case, three different local charities. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank, the Times Center, that's a homeless shelter for men in the community, and also for the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen that's at the New Covenant Fellowship on Randolph Street in Champaign. So money raised in the crop walks will go to those three local charities, a quarter of it, and then three quarters goes through the international program of Church World Service to fight hunger in 80 different countries, in some cases providing actual food, in some cases providing tools and seeds and things like that so people can grow their own. Also education that we'll be hearing more about in 2 weeks from Esther Portnoy when she returns from her program in Kenya.
And we do have Esther's number.
And her phone number is?
It's 367-8853-217 area code.
Okay. And Esther will be back from Kenya when?
Next Sunday, I believe.
Okay. So next week people could call Professor Portnoy, Esther Portnoy, at 217-367-8853. Tell me about some of your experiences, Anthony, when you've been on these crop walks ever since you can remember. You've done it in what different cities?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't participate in college because I think it some of my academics were precluded that, but I have participated in Springfield and in Champaign-Urbana. As a youth, it was fun to just to connect with other youth and to It was a challenge, I think, to think about 10K or 6 miles, and to think that I was doing that in solidarity with people who do walk miles on a daily basis. You know, I'm fortunate to be able to hop on the bus every day, but right. So, yeah. Coming to Champaign-Urbana, it's been a blessing to help be involved in leadership and do more educational kinds of activities, in addition to raising sponsorships. At Wesley, we've actually had a few walkers who have put up sponsorship pages on the Church World Service website, and the Champaign-Urbana Crop Walk has a walk page that people can donate to, and teams have team pages, and the walkers can have their own walker pages. And we've at Wesley, we've raised a lot of money just through web donations.
And I think that's probably now the most successful. I know one of the things with the website for me, once I sign up, I watch everybody else and I have a competition. It's like, okay, well, who am I going to try and beat this time online? And it's the same way with the churches. I mean, we have our own little inner competition, especially amongst the Lutheran churches. Good Shepherd's always like, okay, are we going to be number one this year? And it's always like, oh, we were number three, and okay, we have to step it up this year. So there's a little competition also amongst the different faith communities as well as to who's going to raise the most funds for this.
The little thermometer fundraising goal bars kind of help toward that, because you're thinking, oh, I haven't, you know, we haven't reached our goal yet. Mm-hmm. So,
tell us, Anthony, some of the things you've done at Wesley to try to reach your goal.
We have a crop walk table on Sundays at church to pass out information about Church World Service, what it does, and what Crop Walk does. We also, and we collect donations through the sponsorship table. We also are invited to do some kind of skit or some kind of engaging activity during the worship service that highlights the true nature of food insecurity, of the lack of healthy water, potable water to drink. And so those are some of the ways we also, and then obviously our walkers do their own educational and enlist sponsorships on their own.
Now, this walk will happen on April 22nd, a Sunday afternoon at 2. Take a couple hours for most people. Why would a college student give up time on a Sunday afternoon when they should be studying for the first time that weekend with their Monday classes to do this kind of a thing?
Well, that's a great feeling, knowing that you're going out there and making a difference. Sometimes just walking and people stopping you, asking questions, that's one of the things I've noticed on the route. I don't know if you've experienced where people stop and ask, what is this about? What is Crop Walk? And you start to educate other people about not only world hunger, but local hunger as well, because we are, you know, supporting Time Center, Daily Bread Soup Kitchen, and the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. And it's that feeling of, I'm making a difference, even if it's just slight. You're out there, you're making some sort of a difference in the world to help someone else.
Being part of Wesley, I've seen that college students truly do care about food insecurity and working to relieve food insecurity. We have thousands of volunteers. Many of them, a large number of them, students who come and volunteer on a monthly basis at the food pantry. So I truly believe we have a campus community with students who are truly committed to this effort, and I would love to have more students participate, mm-hmm. and we certainly welcome their enthusiasm and passion for this issue.
We're down to our last 6 or so minutes, but there's still time for a telephone call or two if you keep your question or comment short. That's 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana area, 217 area code. That's 333-9455 if it's long distance. Even if you're listening on the Internet live, 1-800-222-9455. Let me give the national CropWalk.org website for people who'd like to find out in their communities. And, of course, a lot of people listen to this program online. In fact, we now know how many people listen to this and other programs here on WILL through the podcasts, through their computers, through their phones, and all sorts of things at their convenience. So we know there are many more people who are listening when this program is not live. Two things I'd like you to know. One is crop walks are, as our guests have been telling us, both in fall and spring, mm-hmm. and in 2,000 communities throughout the United States. So you can always go to cropwalk.org and find out where yours is and when the next one is. And you can also contribute to Church World Service and without going through a crop walk. You can also simply write them a check. It's a wonderful charity and does wonderful work. The second thing I want to tell listeners who are listening online at their convenience through a podcast is willpledge.org is a way to support WILL. This is a public radio station. We depend for a large part of our funds each year on what people donate to this station. You can do that through willpledge.org. We have a caller waiting on line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Hi, I have a comment.
Yes.
Maybe if you changed it to Faith World Service, you might be able to get the Muslim community in the program. Thanks.
And those of other faiths, that's a good point.
Okay.
Well, I do know a little bit of the history of that discussion, and maybe you do too, Anthony or Nikki, mm-hmm. but because this was started by the National Council of Churches of Christ in the United States, it was started by a Christian group, and though they try to make clear that the money goes to people of any faith or none, and the food goes to people of any faith or none, they do have a certain amount of pride in the fact that this was something begun by a group of ecumenical Christians. Mm-hmm. And although Church World Service is the group, notice Crop Walk doesn't say it's a church instead of a mosque or a synagogue
Correct.
Or a temple. So that they're at least trying, I think, in some ways to
right.
Well,
give,
in fact,
give credit
some
to their
of our,
history. But.
Yeah. In fact, some of our sensitivities toward having people of many faiths participate, even some Christian groups who aren't part of the National Council of Churches. Part of that is we allow sponsors of walkers to donate their 75% of their donation to other worldwide mm-hmm. hunger-fighting organizations.
Right.
And so
or on their donation, they can write in the memos, I want this strictly to go to, local, and it will stay local. Mm-hmm. So that also helps out if you don't want to have it for the whole organization. You can make note on your donation, this stays local, and it mm-hmm. will stay local.
And some of the international groups would be Jewish. Some of them mm-hmm. would be Muslim.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
there is that option as well.
Mm-hmm. Some evangelical or Roman Catholic or, yeah, mm-hmm. there's a wide variety of other worldwide organizations. I guess United Methodist Committee on Relief. So there's a lot of specific worldwide organizations operating and doing similar work. But Church World Service is the ecumenical effort that organizes the crop walks.
Mm-hmm.
So. I haven't asked what each of you do for a living outside of volunteering so much time for the local crop walk.
I work at Carl. I am a receptionist in their optometry ophthalmology department.
Carl is a local medical complex, mm-hmm. C-A-R-L-E.
Yep.
And Anthony?
I work at the Construction Engineering Research Laboratory. It's a research and development facility of the Army Corps of Engineers.
And are you yourself an engineer?
No, I'm not. I'm a file clerk there. My degree's in computer science.
Oh, I see. So you keep the engineers able to work.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being here on the Keeping the Faith this week. We've been talking with Nikki Kyle, N-I-C-K-I-K-Y-L-E, from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on Prospect Avenue in Champaign, Illinois, and with Anthony Stauder, S-T-A-U-D-E-R, from Wesley United Methodist Church and Wesley Foundation on Green Street and Goodwin in Urbana, Illinois, both of whom are on the Crop Walk Board of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been talking about world hunger and the important work this group has done over the last, since, when did you say they started, Anthony, back in?
1992.
Yeah, but the whole organization back in 47, I think.
1946 is when Church World Service started, yeah.
Great. And again, $30,000 was raised locally in Champaign-Urbana. The goal for this year is $33,000 in 2012. The walk itself in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, will happen on April 22nd at 2 o'clock, starting at the University Place Christian Church. We'll go 10K or 6 miles for those who make it the whole way, or others will walk 3 and raise money for this good purpose. A quarter of the money stays locally. 3/4 goes to a place of your choice, donor's choice, or through Church World Service to 80 different countries. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. And next week I'll be privileged to be interviewing. Let's see, where's my list? I've got too many papers in front of me and can't even find it. Here we go. We'll be talking with... why? Oh, Jay Michelson, of course. Our guest talking about his book, God versus Gay? That'll be next week by phone, the week following with Esther Portnoy, about safe zones in schools in Kenya. April 1st, Jackie Lynn with the Episcopal Peace Foundation. April 8th, Josh Slocum from the Funeral Consumers Association of America. Earth Care, April 15th, with Catherine Cusmal, pastor at First Presbyterian Church of Urbana, and David Sherwood from that congregation. Archive program with Roger Ebert, April 22nd, should be a real treat. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and religion, rethinking animal intelligence, maybe how memory works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580.
The long-term future of public media in Central Illinois depends on the generosity of people like you who can make special gifts through their estate. Consider including WILL in your estate plan. Leave your own legacy and support what you love. Your attorney can help you put your wishes into proper form. For more information on the WYLL Legacy Circle, call Donda Beard at 217-333-7300.
This is Illinois Public Media.